catching you up on the latest stories from around the Sunshine State that you should know heading into this Tuesday morning, June 8th. I'm Sarah Mandile, and this is The Point from WUFT News. A cargo ship carrying coal ash from Puerto Rico to Georgia spilled some of its contents off the coast of Jacksonville after running aground in March. I spoke with WJCT reporter Sydney Bowles about the details.
On March 14th, a cargo ship left a port in Puerto Rico, sailing for the port in Jacksonville, and it was carrying about 12,000 tons of coal ash. Coal ash is a byproduct of what you get when you burn coal for energy, and it's kind of this like light, flaky, gray ash that can contain some pretty toxic ingredients, stuff like arsenic, zinc, aluminum, radioactive elements, a real sort of stew of stuff that can be kind of nasty. So the ship went along pretty fine for a while. And then on March 22nd, it hit some rough weather and the captain steered it into the soft sand about a mile south of the mouth of the St. John's River. It wasn't initially clear what exactly was going on, but over the next couple of weeks, it became clear that the ship had been damaged. And as the weather continued to be really rough, we learned that some undetermined amount of this coal ash product had been released into the ocean.
How is coal ash regulated by the Environmental Protection Agency, and how do they classify it?
So I had this really interesting conversation with a marine biologist here in Jacksonville, Quentin White. He sort of said, this is a really, it is kind of a toxic material. He said, is it hazardous? Yes. Is it a waste? Yes. But according to the EPA's classification, it's not a hazardous waste, which means that the way that it's transported, the way that it's stored, the kind of gear that you need to wear when you're handling it, all of that is at a much lower level than it would be if it was considered a toxic waste by the EPA. There's probably a lot more here than I was able to get into in the article, but it seemed like everyone from marine biologists to naval engineers had the sense that the reason that coal ash isn't more strenuously regulated is because the EPA faced pressure from the coal industry back in the day to not regulate this a certain way, even though it is, you know, it contains some really serious stuff.
What happens when coal ash gets into the water like it did in this situation?
When coal ash enters the water, enters the environment in any number of ways, it can do some really harmful things. It depends on the quantity, of course. A newspaper editor that I spoke to in Puerto Rico said that he had documented really serious health impacts in the Dominican Republic, actually, when the same coal company, AES, dumped tons and tons and tons of this waste just on an open beach many years ago. There were miscarriages, there were fetal malformations, there were instances of cancer. That is a really different level than what we're dealing with here. There's no evidence that we're going to be facing that kind of a environmental and health catastrophe in this situation. But it's still really a toxic stew of stuff in this coal ash. And it might look like some fish dying. You know, it might look like, you know, marine biologists call them bottom communities, the communities of tiny organisms that live in the sand at the bottom of the ocean. They may be impacted by this. And that works its way out through the food chain. And it may make its way to us through our food system or just through, you know, the health of the ecosystem that we live in.
That was WJCT reporter Sydney Bowles on her article about a coal ash spill off the coast of Jacksonville. Now, let's get into some top headlines. Red tide levels are rising in areas of Tampa Bay near Port Manatee. According to the Sarasota Herald Tribune, 215 million gallons of nutrient-rich wastewater was released in April from the former Piney Point fertilizer plant. Because the wastewater has high levels of nitrogen and phosphorus, stakeholders are wondering if this would feed red tide growth. The Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission's daily sample reports on Thursday confirmed that the organism that causes red tide has increased in that area. However, experts say it's too soon to understand the link between the wastewater and the current red tide blooms because many factors can contribute. On Thursday, signs of red tide led the Florida Department of Health in Hillsborough County to issue a red tide bloom advisory for Lower and Middle Tampa Bay, which are areas impacted by wastewater releases from Piney Point. As federal stimulus checks gave Floridians more money to spend, the state's April revenue collections topped an economist's forecasts by nearly 24%. According to News Service of Florida, the legislature's Office of Economic and Demographic Research reported Friday that April general revenue collections came in $797.2 million above a projection for the month. This gave Florida its ninth month in a row surpassing revenue expectations as the state's economy recovers from the COVID-19 pandemic. Sales tax make up the largest portion of state general revenue, which is used to fund programs such as schools, healthcare, and prisons. Archaeologists with the University of North Florida are fairly certain they found a lost indigenous community that used to exist in Northeast Florida. According to WTSP, researchers say they may have uncovered artifacts that belong to a settlement that's been mentioned by both French and Spanish historical documents dating back to the 1560s. No one has been able to discover the settlement until now. The researchers say that on top of pottery and other artifact finds that have already been made, they are also looking for evidence of any houses or architecture. The researchers say the finding of evidence of home and public structures would confirm their discovery. The excavation project will continue over the next 3 years. Subscribe to The Point newsletter, which drops the latest Florida stories into your inbox every morning, Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. Visit WUFT.org for more information. I'm Sarah Mandile, and you've been listening to The Point from WUFT News out of the University of Florida. Have a good one.